You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
If you have your Bibles, please go right now to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And if you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to get a copy of God's word to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. We're in a series called Deeper, trusting that the Lord is taking us deeper together as a church and as individuals. And I hope that you want that for your life, because if you do and you heed what's being told to us in the pages of the Bible from the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Sermon on the Mount, your life will change. You will go deeper. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, while you are turning there, let me ask you a question before we start this morning. When was the last time you heard the word meek come up in a conversation? M-E-E-K. When was the last time you heard the word meek come up in a conversation? This week at work, did your supervisor or manager commend someone in the office for being meek? How about at home? Did your spouse put their hand on your shoulder this week and say, "I'm just so thankful for you because you are so meek"? Or what about at the grocery store or at the gas station? Did you overhear a conversation where the word meek came up? Well, I think that it's probably been a very long time since you've heard the word meek. I say that probably because it's not a word we hear very often, likely because it's not a trait that the world holds up anymore. It's not a trait that the world esteems. Meekness is not even a trait that is understood anymore, even in the church of Jesus Christ. What is meekness anyways? Well, today Jesus Christ brings this word up in the Sermon on the Mount. He brings it up as the foundational quality of all true disciples of Jesus Christ and all true citizens of his kingdom are called to be meek. They're called to meekness. And everything that his first century Jewish audience thought a kingdom should be, Jesus is flipping it upside down. They think a kingdom should be domineering. Jesus says, no. The kingdom of God is marked by humility. They think the kingdom should be about pride and self-exaltation. Jesus says, no. The kingdom is about mourning over your own sin, not exalting yourself. They think that a kingdom is about asserting yourself and pushing forward. And Jesus comes and says something very different today. Every character quality that this world esteems and prioritizes, Jesus is turning on its head. You need to pay attention to this, because where you work, in your family, in your office, wherever you are, in your school, on your university campus, there are certain priorities that this world holds up. And then Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is saying, but you as Christians, you don't live the way the world lives. I'm going to flip this thing upside down. Jesus is telling us what the kingdom of God must look like, what the citizens of the kingdom of God must look like. And loved ones, do you want another key to true happiness today? Do you want another key that will unlock the door to joy and happiness in your life? Because everyone's looking for it. Everyone's searching for it. Do you want another key? Here's the key. Jesus tells us that the character trait of meekness, embraced by his followers, lived out by his followers, is the key to a secret joy and happiness in the life of the believer. Matthew chapter 5, this is what he says in verse 5. Jesus says, "Blessed, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Happy, blessed, full of joy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So we need to understand what meekness is. Some of you may misunderstand what it is. Let's just start with this thought. It's on the screen for you. Meekness is not weakness. Got to get that. Meekness is this: strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's where we're going to start. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. This is key to understanding what meekness is and the attitude of meekness. To recognize that meekness is not weakness. See, the world will say that. They'll see someone who's meek. And as we progress through this message, I pray you're going to understand by the end what the attitude of meekness really is. But the world will look at one who is meek and they will say that person is weak. But that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Meekness is not weakness. It's in fact strength under control of the Holy Spirit. In classical Greek, the word meekness was used to describe tame animals. The word also implied a self-control. So look at this picture on the screen for you. This is Kevin Richardson from Johannesburg, South Africa. And he spent many years studying zoology in university. He's established some kind of respect among the animals there, understanding their behavior and needs. And listen, the reason he's able to stand next to this ferocious, wild animal without getting destroyed and eaten alive is not because the lion is weak, okay? It's not the reason he can stand there. The reason he can stand beside this ferocious animal, the king of the beasts, and play with him. You should watch the videos on YouTube. Rolling around with these lions, this guy is crazy. But the reason he can do that is not because the lion is weak. It's because somehow the lion's been tame, is placed under control. An even better illustration of meekness as strength under control is found all throughout the scriptures itself in none other than the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the ultimate supreme example of meekness. Now, as we progress through this message and we begin to uncover what meekness is, you know what my prayer is for you and me is that our hearts begin to incline towards the Lord and say, I want to be like that. I have to be like that. Lord, I need meekness. I need to be made meek. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of that. On the screen for you in Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," or the word is meek, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's the creator of the universe who possesses all power and authority. He is meek and gentle and lowly of heart. In 1 Peter 2:23 on the screen, it was Peter who said of Jesus, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly." Now, here's what you have to understand here about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that in his earthly ministry, while he's being reviled, while he's being hated, while he's being spit upon, while he's being dragged to the cross, did you know that in a moment, with one word, Jesus could have destroyed all of his opposition? Because he's God. With one word, Jesus could say, "I don't deserve this," and wipe out the whole human race. He could have did that. But he didn't. He submits to his Father's will in meekness when he's being reviled, when he's being insulted, when he's being hated. His strength, his power, his authority is brought under control and in submission to God the Father to carry out the will of the Father. That's the truth of the matter. Meekness, loved ones, is strength under control. But there's something else very important, loved ones, that I want you to see. Meekness is not just strength under control. Listen, for the believer, meekness is strength, listen, under the control of the Holy Spirit, okay? Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not calling people to try harder to do these things. Just try harder to do better. No, Jesus comes to a people who cannot do these things and presents himself as the Savior who can save them from their sin and inability to keep and fulfill the law. And as he saves people from their sin, he fills them with the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling them to be the citizens of the kingdom that he's calling them to be. And what he's describing for us here in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. So not try harder and do better. If you're sitting here thinking, I got to bring my strength under control. I got to bring my temper under control. I got to do this, wringing your hands, trying to do this. No, that's not what we're talking about here. And that should release you and that should free you. What we're talking about here is this. Meekness is strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. Where do I get that from? I'm not just making that up. On the screen for you, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and he begins to list the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Here it is, gentleness, or it's translated better, meekness. And self-control, he says, against such things there is no law. This means that meekness is not simply a personality type. Some people look at people that are soft-spoken and quiet and more reserved, and you look at them and you say, oh, that person must be meek. No, meekness is not just a personality trait or a personality type. Meekness is supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit of God. And meekness is strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us, as I just read to you, to have the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, as every believer in Jesus Christ has the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be mastered by the Spirit and to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So, meekness is not the quiet, soft-spoken, reserved person in the corner who doesn't like to talk. That's not meekness. Meekness can be seen in the life of the person that is loudest, most outgoing, most extroverted, and the one who is quiet and reserved in the same way. It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 6 and 7 gives us an amazing example of this. Strength under the control of the Holy Spirit in Stephen. You remember reading about Stephen. And Stephen loved the Lord so much, he committed his life to following Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ. We read about this in Acts 6 and 7. And the religious leaders and the leaders of the city didn't like that he was preaching so boldly in the name of Jesus. So they started a plot to accuse him falsely of blasphemy. So they approach him one day, they accuse him of blasphemy, and Stephen, the Bible says, they could not withstand the wisdom with which he was speaking. The Bible says he was full of wisdom and power. And so Stephen erupts in this sermon to bring conviction to the people who are trying to accuse him. And he begins to tell them how they've gone wrong when they crucified Jesus and how Jesus is the Messiah and come to save them and how their hearts have been so hardened and how rebellious they've been. And you know what's happening to them as he's preaching? Not the thing that I want happening here when I'm preaching. They're getting angry, the people. They're getting angry. And the Bible says they're stopping their ears, like, stop. And they are just So upset. On the screen for you is a picture of what this would have looked like. They charge at Stephen and they push him out of the city, probably into a pit like this to get ready to stone him. There are pits like this set up for stonings that were outside of the city. They push him out of the city and they set him up to be stoned. And there's Stephen getting ready to have huge stones hit him in the face, in the head, crush his skull and kill him. You know what the Bible says about Stephen? You know what Stephen did? He looked up, the Bible says. He looked up to the heavens. And he saw a vision of Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. And as they were stoning him, listen to this amazing, amazing reality. As they were stoning him, Stephen prays, God, don't hold this sin against them. And the stones crush him. And the Bible says he died. What meekness. Like, what do you do when people come at you? What do you do when people revile you? What do you do when people falsely accuse you? What do I do? I mean, I want to fight back. But what we see here is meekness, strength under the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice a few things. Acts 6:8 says of Stephen that he was full of grace and power. He's not doing this by himself. Acts chapter 6, verse 10 says the opposition couldn't withstand the wisdom and the spirit, capital S, with which he was speaking, the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 6, verse 15 says they looked at him and they saw, listen, this is amazing, they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. He's so full of the Spirit of God that they look at him and they observe his face is like the face of an angel. And Acts chapter 7, 55 says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Is this try harder, do better Christianity? Is the reason why Stephen doesn't turn around and pick up one of those stones and launch it back or try to run, is the reason because he's trying so hard to just be a good boy? Is that the reason? No. The reason Stephen is so meek, the reason he is so gentle, the reason he is so submissive is because he is full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, guess what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's meekness. It's meekness. And you know what, loved ones? I need more meekness today. I do. I need more meekness in my household. I need to be more meek with my wife. I need to be more meek with my children. I need to be more meek with our staff in this church and in this church and in my ministry. I need to be more meek. Is there anyone in this room that would acknowledge that you need to be more meek? Here's another question. How many of us are wondering, how exactly does this filling of the Spirit happen in my life so that I could be mastered by the Spirit and bear the fruit of meekness? Is anyone wondering that? How does that happen? Can you give me some clues? Well, I'm so excited because the Bible gives us clues. There's so much we can say, by the way, about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18 that we are to be filled with the Spirit, and the Greek there is to be continually filled with the Spirit. Day by day, there's so much to say, but I'm going to put this diagram on the screen for you, and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit resulting in the fruit of meekness. I want to help you today. The answer is in the progression of the Beatitudes. You have to remember that Jesus is not haphazard with the Beatitudes. He's not randomly like throwing them out. He's got a sequence in mind, and each Beatitude builds on the other, starting with this. How do I be filled with the Spirit resulting in the fruit of meekness? Well, I got to humble myself. I am nothing. He is everything. As blessed are the poor in spirit. I got to humble myself. When I humble myself, I am then positioned to mourn over my own sin. That's the second thing. Understanding that I'm a great sinner, but he is a greater Savior. That's blessed are those who mourn. We talked about that last week. And when we humble ourselves and understand we are nothing, he is everything, we're in a position to mourn over our sin, recognizing that we are great sinners, but he is an even greater Savior. Then we see that we begin to grow in meekness. Christ has been so gentle to me. How can I be harsh to other people? You see, this is how it works. The person that truly humbles themselves is the person that mourns over their sin and sees the reality of the state of their own hearts. And the person that mourns over their own sin in humility is a person that runs to Jesus Christ in great dependence upon him in the word and prayer. And the person that humbles themselves and mourns over their sin and runs to Jesus Christ in dependence in prayer and the word is a person that is continually filled with the Spirit of God, mind being renewed by the word of God. And the person's mind is being renewed by the Word of God and heart is being filled with the Holy Spirit is the person that begins to bear the fruit of meekness. You have to see how it unfolds. I humble myself. I mourn over my sin. And I run to Jesus in dependence. And I begin then to bear the fruit of meekness. So let's ask a question in this room today. Are you dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ today for everything? Do you feel that? Do you feel your need? In fact, let's just do a heart check and ask some very specific questions on the screen for you. Let's do a heart check. We'll check our hearts this morning. Number one, let's check our hearts with this. How do I need to humble myself today? Okay, just everyone in the room, ask yourself that question. If every single person in the room asks themselves that question, and on your little notepad there, you just write down something. How do I need to humble myself today? Is God speaking to you about something? Is it your marriage? You need to humble yourself in your marriage? You and your wife, you and your husband, maybe not seeing eye to eye, but you're just constantly pushing your way, pushing your agenda, trying to knock down your spouse. Where do you need to humble yourself? Maybe it's at work. Someone else got a promotion that you thought you deserved. Do you need to humble yourself at work? Maybe it's with your children. Where, loved ones, do I need to humble myself today? Number two, ask yourself this question. Am I truly broken over my own sin? You just stop for a moment and ask that question. Am I truly broken over my own sin? Do I feel an intensity of mourning when I fall into sin, when I see patterns of sin in my life, when I see sin prevailing in the world, when I'm on my social media feed and I look at hurricanes destroying nations and floods, just taking people out all over the place? Do I just think to myself, oh, you know, that's just another thing? Or do I mourn over the effects of sin in our world? It's a question you need to ask to check your heart. Last thing to check our hearts with is this. Will I move towards Christ today, submitting myself to Him completely? This is an important one. Because you know what? You know what? It's easy to do in Toronto. In 2017, it's easy to come to church and sit down and listen and sing and then leave. It's easy to do that. So many people do that. But here, I'm challenging you here. I don't want you to just leave today. I want you to ask the question, will I move towards Christ today? Will I move towards Him, submitting myself to Him completely? You say, how do I do that? Well, how about a simple prayer that we can start with? How about this? Lord, I humble myself before You. I realize I'm nothing and You are everything. How about that prayer? How about this prayer? Lord, I don't mourn the way I need to. I see that now, and I want to mourn over my sin the way You want me to. How about that prayer? Do you know that prayer works? Do you know that when we pray, God hears? Do you know, loved ones, that when we pray, God listens? And what would God do? Imagine all of us in this room say, Lord, I humble myself before You. Imagine all of us say, Lord, I want to mourn over my sin more. Imagine what, you know what God will do? He will rush towards you. He's not sitting up in heaven thinking, I wonder if I'm going to go bless that person. I wonder if I'm going to go answer that prayer. I mean, I'm not really sure what the motive of their heart. He's going to rush to you. If you pray that prayer, He's going to come to you with power. He's going to come to you with a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit. If you mean it, if you believe it. How about this prayer? Lord, make me meek. Lord, I'm so harsh sometimes. I'm so irritable sometimes. Lord, I'm so aggressive sometimes. Lord, I need to be meek. Would You fill me with Your Spirit and make me a meek follower of Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, loved ones, God is not going to be like, yeah, maybe next year I'll answer that prayer. God will rush to you. He'll meet you where you are. He'll embrace you. He'll affirm you. He'll say, that is a good prayer, child of mine. That is a good prayer. I love that prayer. I will answer that prayer. I love you so much. I will make this happen in your life. You need meekness today? I do. I need a lot more meekness than I possess today. How about you? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, and even more specifically, this now. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is this now. Write this down. Meekness is submission to the Lord in everything. Meekness is submission to the Lord in everything. This is really important. This is what we're driving at right now. Notice verse 5 of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, I was having a bit of trouble this week in my study because the word meek is a very hard word to translate in the original language. So I'm just like looking through books and commentaries and going online and studying and listening to other preachers. I'm like, what does this word mean? I just need a clear definition of the word. And you'll be very hard-pressed to find a clear, robust, biblical, kind of one-line definition of the word. It's an attitude, meekness is, that encompasses so much. You know, loved ones, I fell in love with the scriptures again this week because in my study I realized that Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5:5 is quoting an Old Testament verse of scripture that helps us to begin to understand what exactly is meekness? What is the attitude of meekness that God needs to facilitate and strengthen in me? On the screen for you in Psalm 37:11, it's like Jesus is directly quoting this. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." Now, we have to understand that in the original language, Psalm 37:11 and Matthew 5:5, it's like verbatim, word for word. Okay? In the original language, it's like Jesus is quoting it word for word. And so we step back from Matthew 5:5 and we let the rest of Scripture help us interpret Matthew 5:5 and we realize that in Psalm 37, we have an idea of what Jesus was thinking about when he looked at the crowds and he said, "Blessed are the meek." You look at Psalm 37 and you get what was going on in Jesus' mind? What was his motive? What does he want these people to understand? What does he want us to get from this? How is he defining meekness for us? Well, you look at Psalm 37, specifically verses 3 to 11, and we can get into the mind of Jesus. What does he mean by blessed are the meek? And so we're going to use Psalm 37 for the rest of our time to guide our definition of meekness. And I pray, and I want you to pray for power to apply it to our own hearts. Here we go. Are you ready? Write this down. Meekness is the attitude that says, listen, says, "I will trust the Lord." Okay? I want to help you, loved ones. I was helped by this. I want to help you. You want to understand what it means to be meek? Well, meekness is the attitude of the heart that says, "I will trust the Lord." Where do I get that from? Well, Psalm 37, verse 3 on the screen for you. The psalmist is writing about the meek person that will inherit the earth, okay? This is what he says about them. He says, he encourages them. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and befriend faithfulness." The characteristic of those who inherit the land is meekness, both in Matthew 5:5 and Psalm 37. This is who the psalmist is talking about here. Meekness is the strong attitude of submission to the Lord that says, "I will trust the Lord." Now, don't let the Christian lingo throw you off here. I know it's so easy. We hear this in church all the time. Trust the Lord, you know, put your trust in him. We sing songs about it. Thousands of songs have been written with the phrase, "Trust God, trust the Lord." It can lose its power. But listen, do you know how many people in the world, don't live with this attitude of submission? Do you know how many Christians in churches don't live with this attitude of submission to the Lord that says, "I will trust the Lord"? They say it with their mouth, but meanwhile, they're trusting in all kinds of other things. They're trusting in money, they're trusting in cars, they're trusting in their jobs, they're trusting in their spouses. And when you begin to trust in anything that's not the Lord, you begin to find your life getting very tense sometimes when things don't go your way. Meekness doesn't flow from the heart that doesn't trust the Lord. When you're trusting in your spouse to fulfill your every longing, the longings of your heart, when your spouse goes sideways on you one day, guess what? You begin to get irritable. You begin to get anxious. You begin to get controlling. Why? Because you're trusting in the wrong thing. And you're not able to express meekness in the moment because you don't trust in the Lord. How many of us struggle with that? I do. I do so often. I struggle with that. Meekness is the attitude that says, "I will trust the Lord." Oh, I pray that this is a church full of people who really trust the Lord, who believe in his sovereignty and his control. He's got it. I can rest. Okay, number two.
Number two, meekness is the attitude that says, I will trust the Lord. Secondly, this, meekness is the attitude that says, I will delight in the Lord. I will delight in the Lord. On the screen for you, Psalm 37, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse so much I'm tempted to say about that, but we're going to keep it brief. The meek are those who understand that true delight and true happiness and true satisfaction are found in the Lord, not in anything else. When Jesus says, blessed are the meek, he's saying the ones who delight in the Lord are blessed because they're not on this hamster wheel pursuing something to satisfy the deepest longings of their heart, aggressively chasing things, getting angry about things when they don't go their way. They're not doing that. They're meek because they've learned to rest and delight and trust in the Lord and find their hearts satisfied in him. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know any Christians in your life like that? You just look at them and you're like, they're always so calm. They're just so meek. They're so gentle. They don't seem to let anything just get them bent out of shape. It's probably because their delight is in the right spot. They say with their attitude, I will trust the Lord. They say with their attitude, I will delight in the Lord. Meekness is the attitude that says, I will trust the Lord. I will delight the Lord in the Lord. Thirdly, meekness is the attitude that says, I will commit my way to the Lord. Okay? I will commit my way to the Lord. I hope that God is using this in some way in your heart. How many people in this church are burdened, unnecessarily anxious, unnecessarily so worried, having to feel like you have to control the situations of your life, having to control people around you, having to control your boss at work, having to manipulate things. It's just happening all over the place. That's not meekness. Meekness says, I will commit my way to the Lord. Verses 5 to 6 of Psalm 37 on the screen for you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday sun. In the original Hebrew, the word commit is translated roll. It's a pretty neat concept. You're able to roll things off onto God when you commit your way to him. I read this week about George Mueller. I talk a lot about George Mueller. Well, one day, George Mueller was facing a very stress-filled, a burdensome day, a lot of pressures in front of him. It was a critical day, and someone came up to him and said, how do you maintain such composure in the midst of all of these things that you're facing? Needs unmet and financial obligations unmet and all these things, the orphanage that he was running, how do you maintain your composure? And you know what George Mueller said to the person with a smile? He said, I rolled 60 things to God this morning. I just rolled 60 things onto God this morning. It was known of George Mueller's life that he would get up early. He would go to prayer. He would open the Word. He loved the Word. He delighted in the Word. And as things would come to his mind, you know what this is like? If you try to sit down and pray and the pressures of life start to fill your mind. I have to do this, and I have to do that. Oh, I forgot to take care of that. And oh, no, that person, I better go and deal with that situation with that person. And just the things flooding your mind. You know what he began to do, to learn to do? Just roll it off as they come. Okay, we have a financial obligation that we need to meet. I got to roll it off to God next. Pray. Okay, one of the kids is sick, and I don't have medication for that. Okay, I'm just going to roll it off to God. Roll it off to God. This is what the meek do. This is what we need to do. Is your life, be honest with yourself, is your life marked by wrestling and struggling and anxiety and burdens? Listen, this week, for some reason, I was particularly struggling with unique burdens. And I was fighting to get to the place of prayer. I said, God, I want to roll it off to you. You're bringing this to my study so that I can apply it to my life. Lord, I'm trying to roll it off to you. It's like it's a battle. It's because the burdens keep filling your mind. You know what the meek person does? The meek person says, I will commit my way to the Lord. I will roll off my anxieties. I will roll off my burdens. I will commit everything to the Lord. We need to do that more. That's meekness. Humble, gentle submission to the Lord in everything. Meekness is an attitude that says, I will trust the Lord. I will delight in the Lord. I will commit my way to the Lord. Fourthly, this, I will wait patiently for the Lord. I will wait patiently for the Lord. If you look at Psalm 37:7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. But I'm not married yet, and I really want to get married. I'm going to wait patiently for the Lord. But I didn't get the job that I wanted, and I really, really wanted that job. Wait patiently for the Lord. But you didn't take the cancer away, Lord. You didn't take the cancer away. I'm still struggling with cancer. Wait patiently for the Lord. This is what meek people do. They roll things off to him, and they learn to wait patiently for him. The Holy Spirit empowered ability to wait patiently for the Lord. That is meekness. Do you need that today? Let me ask you this question. What is it in your life that you are in a rush about today? What is it for you? Come on, if you think of something, write it down. Don't let these moments pass you by. These are moments where the Spirit of God is speaking to you. What is it in your life that you are in a rush about? That you have not rolled off to God? You keep it right here. You have to control this thing because it's so important to you. And you're not going to give it to God because you need to see it happen. Instead, you're treating God like a cosmic genie. Lord, you said you answered prayer. Give this thing to me. And he's not doing it. You need to wait patiently for the Lord. That's what meekness is. What is it in your life that you're in a rush about? What is it? Come on, you think about it. Are you in a rush about career goals? Are you in a rush about buying a house or moving to a certain location? Are you in a rush about progressing towards marriage if you're a single in the room? And we understand those God-given desires and needs. We understand those things. But who understands them most? Who does? Who does? God does. Who does? The Lord does. You in a rush about conceiving children and it's just not happening for you. Roll it off and wait patiently for the Lord. It's not that you don't think about it. It's not that you don't desire it. You just roll it to the one who's able to take care of it. That's meekness. And instead of getting bent out of shape and tense and worried and anxious and I can't even walk through a day without feeling stressed, like I'm getting chest pains here. Why do we do that? Remember the old hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs, I forget the words, to bear. Here's one. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. That's what I was going for. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. I can't remember the rest. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We forfeit peace, okay? We forfeit it. We're like, peace? I don't want it. Here, I'm going to be upset about stuff because I've enrolled it off to the Lord, and I'm not going to wait patiently for him. That's what meekness is, loved ones. That's what Jesus says is the mark of true citizens of the kingdom. That's what Jesus wants this church to be marked by. You know what I would love? If people come into this church, I don't really want them to say, oh, good programs, oh, good singing, oh, good preaching, that's fine. But imagine they would say, the people are so meek here. The people are so humble here. The people are so welcoming here. I hear that a lot, by the way. That's what we're going for. That we are a people being transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, meekness is the attitude that says, I will trust the Lord. I will delight in the Lord. I'll commit my way to the Lord. I will wait patiently for the Lord. God, give us strength to wait patiently for you. Finally, this. I will endure injustice and leave it to the Lord. And Psalm 37:7-11 says this. Watch this. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out, it's on the screen for you, evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. This is what Jesus has in mind in Matthew 5:5. Verse 10, in just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. 11 says this, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. All right, the psalmist is saying, Jesus is saying, don't get angry when evil prevails all around you. Don't fret when injustice prevails. Don't get bent out of shape when people hurt you or revile you or attack you or falsely accuse you. Don't get bent out of shape over those things. Why? Why? Because God is the vindicator of his people. Because God is the one who settles all accounts. The people of God, Jesus says, people of the kingdom, don't have to fret when things are happening all around them, when evil is coming against them. You don't have to get all bent out of shape because your king is the one who will settle all accounts. Your king is the one who sees the injustice better than you do. Your king is the one who says, you just stay calm, you just stay peaceful. I got this. The meek person is able to recognize that and believe that. The meek person is able to say in the face of injustice and reviling and insults, I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I don't have to fight for myself. I have a great king who fights for me. I don't have to take this fight up. I don't have to do it. I have a great king who fights for me on my behalf, for me. God's people will inherit the land. What does that mean? It means that God's people have the hope of a future kingdom. That's what it means. It means that God's people have the hope of a new heaven and a new earth one day. It means that God's people have the hope of reigning with Christ, the victorious king, forever. That's why God's people are meek. Because we have hope of an eternal kingdom. One day, everything's going to be resolved. One day, all the injustice will be done with, and the meek will inherit the land. The meek, the people of God, we're going to be with him in his kingdom one day where he's ruling and reigning, and we rule and reign with him. You don't have to worry. You say, but you don't understand. My boss at work, he's mean to me. He treats me badly. Roll it off to the Lord. Do what you got to do. Be respectful, but roll it off to the Lord. Wait patiently for him and be meek. You know that if there's an injustice happening at work, you know who sees it better than you do. Do you know that? But my spouse doesn't see this. She's blind to this. He's blind to this. They don't see how they're hurting me. I have to fight. I have to show them. No, you don't. Yes, communicate. Communicate. But you don't have to take up the fight. God will do it. God will show your spouse. We have hope, loved ones. Meek people have the attitude of submission to the Lord. Meek people say, I serve a great and righteous Savior. And if he watches the sparrows, does he watch the birds and gives them stuff to eat? We're going to get there in the Sermon on the Mount. If he's giving the birds stuff to eat, if he's clothing the flowers of the field, how much more, loved ones, does he see you? How much more does he look at you with love and affection? It says, calm down, be meek, I got this. That's a word for someone in the room today who is anxious. Today, God's people are to be meek. Jake, I want you to come up here. I really pray so much that the prayer of our hearts as we leave, and we're getting ready to close right now, is that God would form this quality in us. And I've asked Jake to sing a song over us. It's an old song. Some of you may recognize it and say, oh, I remember that. Some of you may not recognize it at all. But maybe you want to bow your head, maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you want to get in the posture of prayer. And I just ask Jake to sing this over you and that it would be the prayer of your heart. Just listen now.
prayer of my heart, oh, praise me. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today.
Church, when people come and encounter any of you, wherever you are in this city in the next week, that people would see the qualities of the kingdom in you. Meekness. I'm going to end with this. Spiros Zodiades said, we usually think of human improvement in terms of upward steps on the ladder of life. But in the spiritual realm, man must take 3 steps downward if he wants to be blessed. That is to experience the presence of God within him. These are the steps of humility, mourning, and meekness. The grace of God is poured out abundantly in this world, yet relatively few enjoy its benefits. Why is this? Because its life-giving waters are available only to those who will place themselves in a lowly position. A cup is placed under a fountain. In Christianity, there is only one way up, and that is down. I want us to stand to our feet. The worship team is going to come up. And I want you to have as your prayer today, Lord, help me to take these 3 steps down. Humility, mourning, and meekness. Fill me with your spirit. Teach me your ways. Make me a servant in this church, in my family, and in this city for the glory of your name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone in this room. I pray for this church that you make us humble and strong. That meekness is not weakness. Help us never to think that. But Lord, that you would make us people who are meek and lowly in heart. Like our Savior. Lord, I pray for the people that are wrestling and struggling with so much burdens, that they would be able to surrender and submit and roll these things off to you. And they would find that you are a trustworthy, gentle, patient Savior. For those who have come into this place and this week they've messed up really bad, Lord, let them know that you are a humble and patient Savior. And you summon them to yourself, to the foot of the cross today. We love you, Lord. Make us servants. Make us meek. Help us to see your glory and your power. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen.